The father of a teen who shot multiple people at a Madison school in December is now facing several felonies. It's Friday, May 9th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Hope Kerwin. Coming up, Wisconsin Catholics share their reaction to the new Pope's Midwest roots. And WPR's Anna Marie Yanni explains how Google engineers in Madison help shape technology used across the globe.
Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, host of Beta. Beta is pioneering.
You know, hitman's living in the shadows, and you have to be anonymous, and you have to be kind of emotionally closed off.
And provocative.
My father used to say that he would punch you so hard that you would go back up to God.
And always playful.
Gangbusters?
Gangbusters, yeah. That's it.
Saturdays at 11 and Sundays at 10 on WPR News.
The father of a teen who killed multiple people at a Madison school in December is now facing several felonies. As Sarah Lear reports, 42-year-old Jeffrey Rupnow will appear in Dane County Court today.
Police say the 15-year-old shooter brought two handguns to the Abundant Life Christian School on the day when she killed two people and injured six others before killing herself. Although both of those guns were legally registered to the shooter's father, Jeffrey Rupnow, prosecutors say the father had given the guns to his daughter as gifts. In a news conference Thursday, Madison's interim police chief John Patterson said that while the shooter's motives may never be fully understood,
we do know the teenager had a fascination with weapons and school shootings. She often talked about them with people she met online, people from all over the world.
According to court records, Jeffrey Rupnow told police he usually kept the family's guns in a safe, but he admitted his daughter likely knew the passcode. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Catholics in Wisconsin are reacting to the news that the new pope named yesterday is a Midwest native. Cardinal Robert Prevost, the first pope ever from the United States, was born in Chicago.
There's such an enthusiasm and a yearning for people's hopes. You know, we are so endeared to our popes, and they're very special to us.
That's the Most Reverend Jeffrey Haynes, the auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. Haynes says he doesn't know much yet about Pope Leo XIV, but he says he's excited he's from the Midwest.
We don't know. He might like custard, you know.
The Archdiocese of Milwaukee is holding a special mass in honor of the new pope on May 13th. Wisconsin is joining a lawsuit challenging the Trump administration's decision to freeze funding for electric vehicle charging stations. As Joe Schultz reports, the state and 16 others are trying to force the administration to release money that was approved by Congress.
The lawsuit says Wisconsin has been deprived of more than $62 million after it was frozen by the Trump administration in February. The freeze has forced the state to pause 15 projects. It's one of more than a dozen suits the state has joined against the administration. State Attorney General Josh Call told WPR's Wisconsin Today the cases have been in response to efforts to bypass Congress.
We are seeing a pretty widespread attack on our very system of government, on the Constitution, and on the rule of law. And I don't think there's really any doubt about what's going on from the Trump administration here.
Funding for EV charging was part of the 2021 infrastructure law passed by Congress. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Two lawsuits claiming Wisconsin's congressional map is unconstitutional were filed yesterday, just 1 month after liberals held their majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The suits take different approaches, but both focus on something called least changes. That was a directive from the court's former conservative majority that largely upheld Republican-drawn maps during the last round of redistricting. UCLA law professor Rick Hasen says he's not shocked to see the congressional redistricting lawsuits filed.
Now that there's a liberal majority on the court, it's unsurprising to see Democrats who were on the losing end of the partisan gerrymandering in the past arguing, actually, this is a misreading of the state constitution.
Hasen says there's a long road ahead for the lawsuits, and because they involve congressional districts, he says there's a chance the cases could wind up before the U.S. Supreme Court. Coming up after the break, we'll hear from WPR's Anna Marie Yanni on how engineers in Madison help shape Google technology used across the globe.
Music with more.
I have a very clear memory of waking up in the morning to my mother singing She Moved Through the Fair. And I think it just rooted itself in my brain and probably is part of what led me to the folk scene.
And my father won't slight you.
Join Sheila Shigley for Simply Folk, Sundays on WPR Music.
Every time you send a message through Gmail or search for information on Google, you're getting a little help from a crew of engineers in Madison. Anne-Marie Yanni recently spent time at the Google office near the Capitol, learning about what the engineers in Madison are up to. She joined WPR's Brady Carlson with more.
To start, Anne-Marie, how long has this office been in the state?
Great question. Actually, in 2007, a former UW-Madison professor and team approached Google about establishing the office. They wanted to help the company develop its data centers while staying close to home. It sounds like that was the kind of talent Google was looking for. So they established an office in Madison focused on the type of research UW-Madison was good at: hardware, software, databases, and they recruited graduates coming out of the university.
So what does this office specialize in today?
Well, for an office of only, you know, over 100 engineers, they have a hand in projects with a pretty large reach. They specialize in hardware and software for data centers. And the site lead and engineering director, Milo Martin, told me their work is very foundational.
Every time you do a Google search, or every time you send a Gmail, or every time, like, my son uploads something to Google Classroom, or my daughter's concert for elementary school is live streamed on YouTube, there's work being done in Madison that's some piece of supporting all of this.
But they do have some key projects they're known for. One is this chip that helps power Google's artificial intelligence called a Tensor Processing Unit, or TPU. The company has called these chips the, quote, backbone for AI across nearly all Google's products. And over a decade ago, the Madison office began laying the framework for TPUs. At the time, Google's AI computation demand was on track to outpace its data center capacity. The chip basically helps run mathematical computations. Martin told me AI models rely on these computations being done in a certain way, over and over.
So by building a custom piece of silicon, a chip, that's really good at doing those things, it can be, you know, not just twice as good, but 10 times, 100 times, in terms of being more energy efficient or being faster at doing those computations.
And is there still a connection between this local Google office, which is doing all this foundational work, and UW-Madison, which is essentially what led to the office in the first place?
Well, they still hire UW-Madison graduates, as well as students from other Midwest colleges and worldwide. But a university employee told me the partnership works both ways. David Ertl is the executive director of UW-Madison's N+1 Institute. It formed last year to partner with companies and bring students industry experience. Ertl told me UW-Madison computer science graduates are historically good at systems technologies that companies like Google want.
You know, it helps Google to recruit our excellent students, but at the same time, it helps us attract students, knowing that Google's actively recruiting here on campus.
Big tech companies like Google are famous for having kind of a vibe on their campuses and in their offices. Is there any of that in the Google office in Madison?
That's a great question. You know, they have ping pong tournaments. This office also has sort of a Midwest theme. They have a cow mascot. And it's got these, like, sweeping views of the state's capital. You can see, you know, both lakes from up there. So I would say it's got a cool vibe.
WPR's Anne-Marie Yanni, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
That was reporter Anne-Marie Yanni speaking with host Brady Carlson. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm Hope Kerwin, in for Alex Crow. Our producers today were Rob Menser and John Davis. We'll talk to you again on Monday.